Welcome to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying the resurrection of Jesus, and in the last couple of days we've been talking about the importance of the resurrection. When Paul the Apostle preached in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, whom the Jews had crucified and rejected, he spoke about the resurrection. It was a part of his message. You cannot have a gospel without the resurrection, for then Jesus would have been crucified and buried, and that would be the end of him, and a dead Christ can do nothing for anybody. We were talking yesterday about Acts chapter 13, where Paul went to Antioch in the synagogue and quoted three passages from the Old Testament to prove that the Scriptures foretold the resurrection of Christ. The first one of which he spoke was from Psalm 2. And he quotes, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." Paul quoted that from the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 2, which deals with how Jesus Christ will someday be set on God's holy hill in Jerusalem and be the king of the world. He'll rule over all people, not only the 12 tribes of Israel, but also the Gentile nations. Then Paul gave them another interpretation of the resurrection. It's from Isaiah chapter 55. He continues, "The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.'" Now, how does that have anything to do with the resurrection? Under the guidance of the Spirit of God, Paul wrote this because he knew that God had made a covenant with David, and it concerns his everlasting love for David. God would never forsake a covenant that he had made with David. And it concerned one of David's descendants who would sit on his throne, and he said his throne would be an everlasting throne. To whom could that refer? No one else except David. For no one else has lived in a manner that could be described as everlasting. Now, can you have the everlasting blessings promised to David if his descendant died and stayed dead? No, you couldn't. So, Paul logically concluded that passage implies that there had to be a resurrection. And then he adds Psalm 16, verse 10. And of course, that's quite precise. "You will not let your Holy One see decay." Now, Psalm 16 is quoted more fully and again by Peter when he preached on the day of Pentecost. But before we get to that, I do want to show you one other passage. It's in the verse that follows Acts 13. It's verse 36. Paul said, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep," meaning that he died. "He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay." Now, why did Paul say that to those Jews in the synagogue in Antioch? Well, first of all, because there were Jews in the audience, as there are people in every audience who might conclude that David in that psalm was talking about himself, not Jesus. And so Paul here points out that it couldn't apply to David because David died, and we know where his tomb is. It's in Jerusalem, which, by the way, we don't know the exact location of today, even though on our tours we are taken to a place on Mount Zion and is shown a tomb, which they call the Tomb of David. So Paul's reasoning is that this passage had to refer to David's son, the Messiah. Now here's what Peter said in Acts chapter 2. He deals with the same passage and said, "David said this about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me.'" Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Peter draws on two other Old Testament passages which do not mention the resurrection, but which are related to it. He sees them as results of the resurrection. One of them is in Acts chapter 3. Verses 25 and 26, and this is Peter speaking to the Jews in Jerusalem. God said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you, by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Now here, Peter talks about God raising Jesus, and he tells them that God raised him, that the Jews would hear the gospel first. And by the way, Paul followed that. He followed that wherever he went preaching, he always went to the Jews first, as though God had determined that they should be the first ones to hear the good news because the Messiah was one of their brethren. And Peter, as he sent him first to you to bless you, by turning each one of you from your wicked ways. So Peter saw something more than the forgiveness of sins here. He saw something more than men getting eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ. He saw the changed life that would follow when men did believe in Jesus Christ. And of course, that's always a very good test of whether or not a person has believed. One can easily say that he believes in Jesus Christ, but if he goes on his worldly way and he continues in his sins, you have good reason to suspect that perhaps he has not believed. Now, it's possible that he has, and he is simply ignorant of the kind of a life that God wants him to live. But in all probability, it is not a matter of ignorance. It is a matter of not knowing what you are doing. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe that He is God the Son, that He came from heaven, and that He died for our sins, He suffered and died, was buried and resurrected, and has returned to heaven, and someday He is coming back to get us so that we can be with Him forever. Now, what kind of a person was Jesus? He was the Holy Son of God, the one who never sinned. What kind of character did he have? It was flawless. God said of him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Anyone who believes in the Jesus Christ of the Bible, whom I have just described, of necessity would have to be in agreement with the kind of a life that he lived and the kind of a life that he has told believers that they ought to live. And so Peter here mentions this. He said, "God sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." By the way, on this matter of preaching to the Jews first, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 14, "I am obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." In that talk that Peter gave in Acts chapter 3, he mentioned, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." That's something that God told to Abraham. And Peter's reasoning is this: the resurrection of Christ was necessary. For how could a dead or a crucified, buried, and dead Christ bless anybody? So it implies the resurrection, and Peter makes the application in preaching to those Jews. Acts chapter 3 records the healing of the crippled man by Peter, and Acts chapter 4 is where Peter again talks about the resurrection, and the background is the healing of that man. For the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem, it tells us. There was Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. And they had Peter and John brought before them and began to ask them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" "Do what?" "Heal the crippled man." Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone." Again, Peter tells them that the result of the resurrection is the headship of Christ over his church and over the whole world someday. He tells them that the rejected one is the most important person in the world. They rejected him in ignorance, not knowing that he was to be the chief cornerstone of the building that God is building. A spiritual building, a spiritual temple, and the most important stone was thrown out. Their whole religion had been based on the coming of the Messiah. He came. They didn't know it. They did not have understanding. Their religion got in their way. They forgot all about the faith of Abraham and how God declared Abraham righteous in his sight forever because he believed God. These people had a religion that told them that God wanted them to do something rather than to believe something. Well, God did tell them to do things. He gave them a law, over 600 laws they were told to keep, and then they would be blessed. But those laws were not to replace the faith that Abraham had. For Paul tells us in Galatians 3:19, why was the law given? It was added. It didn't replace the way to God by faith. It was added because of transgressions, and only temporarily, until the Messiah would come. The Radio Bible Course has been teaching in the Baton Rouge area for 10 years. It's a unique ministry of laypersons in that it has no paid employees. In addition to its daily exposition of the Bible on radio, it sponsors a Sunday class at 9:15 a.m. We invite you to attend. We are always blessed and encouraged by letters from listeners which tell us how this teaching of God's Word has blessed them. We hope you also will consider writing this week. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calipota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.com.